Shavuot Tov. Hope you're well. Shavuot. Hope you had a Shabbat.
Yes, I did. I hope you did the same.
I did. Even though you're the only one, let's go ahead and start.
Okay, I'll go ahead and mute. Okay.
All right. Please join me in saying the Anabat. Anabekoach Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sadeinu Tahareh No, Kufrei Shayim, Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Shavuot, the bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the iron that created the constellation Gedi, the goat, the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the iron and the bet have a gematria of 72. Which connects us to the Sephirah of Chachma, which is wisdom. Na Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kav Shin. Barchem Tacharem.
Le'achta le'shem yud hei b'vav hei
Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu Sod Saduni Katzipor O Yevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words, Tzatz, Ki, Ach, which translate as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, the last letters of these words in this verse, we're able to permute it into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, which represents the Sea of Tenants. The second verse that connects to this year of the goat. I'm getting quite a bit of static, so I'd appreciate it if you would mute your phones by pressing star 6. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And it has the name of the year embedded within it. The letters are separated by seven letters. Ki im ba'adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Adivaku Kasher asitem Ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 is the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this year. The first that we will read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot vayechastum achechem Halevim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkadshu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Re Ka Ha. The second verse that connects to this year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Fidhu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. In the year 5775 is the year where death is swallowed up forever. That was at least potentially, and for some it actually happened. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse we will read is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru mikol hamachavuia asher yidchabe sham ushavtem elai el nachon wechalakti yidchem wechayayim yashno varetz vechipasti Oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. The third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegel olanetzah yoved roav yomru vayo. The word, the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East, there is only one verse that connects to that energy. Second Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam ti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shata tata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It comes from Parasha Yitro, and it's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Tanenam Dekucha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Vetata Kolaihu Keshot Ve'ovada Big shot, the late lach mila, the alma divae, barnash ledachia, leia minea, ulan haga beya, vilana. Dehakulu, ovada big shot. Inun wekola, it's the rich be alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 17th day of Tevet, Rabbi Pinchas Rozovsky, Rabbi Yaakov Krantz, known as the Dubna Magid, Rabbi Aryeh Leibush Lipschitz, Rabbi Pinchas Epstein, and Rabbi Suleiman Mutsafi of Yerushalayim. I'm also going to mention the Tzaddikim who we would normally read this Sunday night, which starts the 18th day of Tevet, but I'm going to read them because we don't have a class and we don't normally do that together. But I recommend that you look this up on the website. Rabbi Huna Bar Martzutra, Radna Amemar Bar Mar Yanuka, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech Shapira of Dino, Rabbi Moshe of Koretchkov, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Horowitz of Kenshin, Rabbi Moshe Chalfon of Jerba of Tunisia, Rabbi Mendel Geffner, Rabbi Heller of Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Aryeh Libish Halberstam. On the eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper, today's class can be found in row 13 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's the second column from the left. It's the classes that are the writings on the Ari. When you click on that link, scroll down to the link that says the Sharei Kedusha, the Gate of Holiness. The author of this book is Chaim Vital, what was known as the foremost student of the Ari. The translation was by Rabbi Yosef Peretz. And the translator has requested that we guard this translation from getting out to the mainstream public. And I have a commentary for that request. This sefer is famous. It is written in four parts. Only three of these were published in Hebrew until recently. This is a translation of all of these parts. The above request is based on this idea that part four is missing, that should not be made available to people who do not have the vessel or the holiness to utilize the information. My teachers have indicated that no person who is insufficiently holy in our generation will be unable to utilize this information to commit evil. Let me rephrase and clarify. Any person who might be deemed not holy enough, whatever that means, will not be able to utilize the information to commit holy, evil acts. And evil acts is defined in Kabbalah as a desire to receive for oneself alone. The translator has included what he describes as an important foreword about Rabbi Chaim Vital. And Rabbi Chaim Vital's own introduction. Part one has two gates. Gate one is to reveal damage done in man's sins with regard to the mitzvot. And gate two reveals the damage done through bad midot, bad character traits. And I recommend that you visit one of the classes we have not yet had on the difference between character traits and personality traits. It is within the matrix, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The second part of part one is not included in the translation, as it deals mostly with detailing the mitzvot and the midot, the character traits, and it is not essential for understanding the matter of Ruach HaKodesh, understanding the Holy Spirit that we reach through various methods of meditation. Part three has a number of gates. Gate one is the introduction to the mystical worlds. Gate two, on what is man. Gate three, the barriers to prophecy. Gate four, the conditions for prophecy. And gate five, on the types of prophecy. Gate six, on the levels of prophecy and the matter of prophecy in the early generations. And what is the matter of attaining Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which is possible to acquire in our times. Gate seven, on attaining Ruach HaKodesh in our times. Grade eight, to clarify the attainment of Ruach HaKodesh in our times with great conciseness. And part four has three gates: actions to accelerate attainment. Gate one, practical actions for accelerating attainment. Gate two, on the manner of attainment. And gate three, on the condition for attainment. An important foreword as defined by the translator. The Chazon Ish, the leader of Torah Jewry in Israel during World War II, wrote, "If a man is a Baal Nefesh, a virtuous and reverent person, the time is a quiet time, free from the hunger of desires, and his eye opens wide to the glorious vision of the heights of the heaven and to the depths of the earth, he becomes aroused and aghast. For the world appears to him like an impossible riddle, hidden and wondrous, and this riddle encircles his heart and mind, and he becomes faint-hearted. There is no spirit left in him except for this riddle, which occupies all his desire and his aspirations. And the understanding of its answer captures his soul until he is willing to go through fire and through water for it. Because for what is life worth to him if this life is hidden from him with absolute concealment, and his soul is dizzy, mourning, and yearning to understand the secret and to know its root, but the gates are locked. For those Baalei Nefesh, good people, who would like Torah answers as to the mysterious riddle of life, the book Sharei Kedusha by Rav Chaim Vital unlocks the gates and provides the Torah perspective. It is not presented in a philosophical way with vague ideas. Rather, it is written in a systematic layout with a clear and surprisingly well-organized theory of everything. Rabbi Chaim received his teachings from the Arizal, who in turn received them from Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu from the Heavenly Academy. Although the realm of Kabbalah is for great Torah scholars, nevertheless, there is no other way to get a glimpse and picture of man and his role in the creation without it. One who studies well these wondrous and awesome introductions will emerge as a different person. He will have a new appreciation of the awesome potential that lies within himself and will surely become more motivated to work on improving himself. The book cannot be properly understood without a solid Torah background. Ideally, Talmud study in a traditional yeshiva. I have tried as much as possible to translate the Hebrew text literally and to add comments in parentheses or brackets rather than giving my own interpretive translation. The translator has studied in numerous Torah institutions, including the Mir Yeshiva in Jerusalem. He also completed degrees at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst in physics and electrical engineering and was a research associate in nuclear physics for some years before heading off to the yeshiva. A disclaimer. proficiency in the Kabbalah without proficiency in the Talmud, in the first, is like a child reading an advanced physics book. Talmud study teaches one to think clearly and discern the absolute truth in a matter, which is the foundation of a man. It also has a unique spiritual power to teach one how to discern good from evil. Without the spiritual light from Talmud study, one is totally unable to do this. The Kabbalah is written in hidden, allegoric form. Only one who has developed and purified his intellect through years of in-depth Talmud study can even begin to decipher the meaning from the allegory. One who has not reached this level will take the allegories too literally and will get at best nowhere. My commentary. The above paragraph is the translation's opinion. There is a machloket among Kabbalists regarding this. Rabbi Ashlag and the Gaon de Vilna, among many others, represent that the study of Kabbalah, and especially the Zohar, is required in order to cleanse oneself. Rabbi Ashlag also teaches that if someone studies Talmud for 5 years and then does not find his life significantly less in chaos, he has connected to the tree of death, Chas V'Shalom, also known as the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And it would be better for him to study the Kabbalah instead. Here is a link to read many quotations supporting the study of Kabbalah. I'm not going to go connect to that link because we have recordings on that. About Chaim Vital, Slita. Rabbi Chaim Vital was unquestionably the leading disciple of the Holy Arizal. Rabbi Isaac Luria and his foremost interpreter. The Ari himself wrote very little, and what is commonly known as the Ari's writings were in fact transcribed by Rabbi Chaim. And I am, in my written commentary, am adding. The Arizal is known to have said that he came to this world only to teach Rabbi Chaim Vital. In response, Rabbi Chaim Vital is quoted as saying he would not study unless the Arizal also taught others that wanted to learn with Rabbi Chaim Vital. An unwritten commentary. Recently, I was presented with a different teaching, which I have not yet determined the validity of this teaching. But in that teaching, it was explained that there were actually two main interpreters of the Ari. One, Rabbi Chaim Vital, lived in the worlds of the Middle East. And his teachings were primarily accepted by the Sephardim and the Mizrahim. While the other student, and I will not mention his name yet, we will do that in another class, he lived primarily in Europe, and his writings were primarily accepted by the Ashkenazim and especially by the Hasidim, by the Hasidic movement. There are significant differences between these two discussions and interpretations of the Ari. These differences are in the area of the higher worlds, they're not in respect to something like this subject that's covered in the Kedusha, the Share Kedusha. I'm continuing to read. The divine flow experienced by the Ari was so overwhelming that he was unable to commit it to writing. As he himself expressed it, "When I begin to reveal a Torah secret to you, the flow of knowledge becomes like a mighty stream, and I look for ways to open a small channel that you will be capable of absorbing." Rabbi Chaim Volozhin bears witness to the fact that when he mentioned the Ari to the Vilna Gaon, the Gaon's whole body trembled. I am adding, in my opinion, this indicates that the Arizal also taught the Vilna Gaon, although they lived centuries apart. It is also something to realize that the saying of a tzaddik's name is also a method of changing oneself with mercy. And this is one of the reasons, an unwritten commentary, that I am adding the saying of the tzaddikim's name during the reciting of the Ana B'Koach, the singing of the Ana B'Koach. Rabbi Chaim was born in Israel, probably in Safed. He studied Nigla, the revealed Torah, under Rabbi Moshe Alshech, and the Kabbalah under Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. However, when the Ari arrived in Safed from Egypt in 1570, Rabbi Chaim soon became totally devoted to him. The Ari is reported to have said that his sole reason for departing Egypt for Safed was to transmit his Torah to Rabbi Chaim. It is an amazing fact that the Ari, who died in 1572 at the age of 38, studied with Rabbi Chaim for less than 2 years, and that the extensive body of writings described by Rabbi Chaim came from that short period. I am adding, shortly after the Arizal arrived in Safed, Rabbi Cordovero left the world, leaving a metaphorical, or perhaps a real description, about who would inherit the mantle of teaching Kabbalah to the children of Israel. Rabbi Cordovero said that as his casket was carried to his burial site, whoever saw the fire following the casket would be the teacher that the Kabbalistic world would follow after him. Rabbi Chaim describes his initiation into the Arizal's new approach to Kabbalah as follows. "When I first came to my teacher of saintly memory, the Arizal, to study this wisdom under him, it was said he was about to leave for Tiberias. He took me with him. We boarded a boat, and as we were sailing across the Kinneret, at a point opposite the arches of the old synagogue of Tiberias, my teacher dipped a cup into the water and gave it to me to drink. He told me that now I would be able to grasp his wisdom, the teachings of Kabbalah, for I had just drunk water from the well of Miriam, which is buried in Lake Tiberias. From that time on, I began to enter the depth of this wisdom." What I have just read as an introduction was the introduction from the translator. Here is Rabbi Chaim's introduction. Says the small one, Chaim, the son of his honor, Rabbi Yosef Vital, of blessed memory, "I've seen men of Aliyah, spiritual ascent, and they are few. They yearn to rise, but the ladder is concealed from their eyes. And they contemplate in the books of the early sages to search and find the path of life, the road which to travel and the actions to do to ascend their souls to its root above and to cling to him, Yitzhak. Because this is the eternal perfection, it's similar to the prophets who all their days cling to their Creator. And through this clinging, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, settled on them to teach them which path leads to light in order to enlighten their eyes in the secrets of the Torah. As King David prayed for, open my eyes, and I will gaze at the wonders of your Torah. They would be led along a straight path, prepared by the men of Aliyah, so that they should reach their goal. After them came the Hasidim Rishonim, which were called Perushim, separatists. They sought to go out in the footsteps of the prophets and to become like them in going out to stone caves and to deserts. And they separated themselves from the ways of men. Some of them would become ascetics in their homes, like the travelers in deserts. And all day and all night, always they would praise their Creator with toil in the Torah, and with the songs of King David, which bring joy to the heart, until their thoughts would cling with tremendous force and yearning to the upper lights. And they continued diligently like this all of their days, until they would ascend to the level of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And they would prophesy and never return, as the commentator Uncalus translated the verse, Lo pasaku, non-stop. If so, where are we to find their ways and techniques? How these holy people served Hashem? May he be blessed, so that it may also do the same ourselves. We may also do the same ourselves. And it is good to say amen to the above blessing. Mm-hmm. Is something added in writing. And therefore the hearts have diminished, and also the knowledge of the generations that came after them. And the masters of Ruach HaKodesh are apparently no more. They departed to their eternal abodes, and abandon us to despair, thirsty and starving, until there sprouted forth hopelessness in the hearts of men for touring this awesome wisdom. And if we find two or three kernels on the treetop, one in a city or two in a family, who seek out water and don't find, because all visions have been blocked, due to the methods and actions have not been written in a book on how to approach the inner holiness. And there are those among them which would swear in angels using the powers in holy names, and they would hope for light and behold it as darkness, because they were very low angels appointed on the matters of this world, and they are mixed with good and evil. So they themselves did not attain the truth and the supernal lights. And they, the angels, would reveal to them mixed words, good and evil, truth and falsehood, superfluous words such as words of healing and the words of wisdom of alchemy and actions of talisman, known as kamea, and hashbeot, swearing in using names. And all also these, In wine they stumbled, and in beer they erred. Would that it were that their hearts would bring them to toil in the Torah and mitzvot, and they would make a chal v'chomer, a major to minor logical inference from the four Gedolei Yisrael, the great sages of Israel, who entered the Pardes, the garden, the paradise, and not one of them returned intact except the pious elder, Rabbi Akiva. And even him, the ministering angels, desired to cast him down. It were not that God helped him, and he entered in peace and exited in peace. According to the Talmud in the Masechet Chagiga, the Holy One said, "Leave this elder alone, for he is worthy of making use of my glory." And the truth is that they desired lofty levels, close to prophecy, and therefore they put themselves in some danger. And for us, halivai, would that it were, that we would merit a little Ruach HaKodesh, such as a revelation of Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu the prophet, which many merited to see him as is well known, or for a revelation from the soul of a tzaddikim, righteous people who died, as mentioned many times in the book of Tikkunim, the Tikkuni Zohar. And not only that, but even in our times, I have seen holy men who merited all these things. And there are some whose own soul, after becoming very, very pure, reveals itself to him and guides him in all his ways. And all these are close ways that one can merit, even in our times, if he is worthy. But, however, it requires great training and great experience to stand on the truth, because perhaps it is another spirit that came to him, which is not pure. And all this will be explained in Part 3, Gate 8. Therefore, my spirit has pressed me to unlock for the Pirushim, the seekers, and to support their right hand, to teach them the path to travel. And therefore I have put together this book. It is small in quantity, but great in quality. For the wise it will shine, and I have called it Sharei Kiddushah, the Gates of Holiness. In it I will clarify hidden things, which the early generations before us did not fathom, because I have reached them from the mouth of the Holy Man, the Angel of God, my teacher, the Ari, Isaac Luria. Known as the Arizal. And in there being secrets of the universe and concealed hidden things, I will reveal a hand's breadth and conceal 2,000 amot. And I will open reluctantly the gates of holiness like the crack of a needle, and he who is worthy will merit to enter inside the inner chamber. And God, who is good, will not refrain good from those who walk wholeheartedly. Vitamim. I have divided it into four parts. The first part on the practice of piety and separation, which brings one to Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. It also subdivides to six gates, the second part, the rebukes, and the clarification of reward and punishment on the positive and negative mitzvot. It subdivides to eight gates. The third part on the practice for attaining Ruach HaKodesh itself. It subdivides to eight gates. The fourth part on the practice of Yehudim, unifying holy names, through which one will attain Ruach HaKodesh. as I have personally tried, tested, and verified the truth of them. Except for one, these were not included in the translation due to the dangers involved. That's the end of Rabbi Chaim Vital's introduction. Please hold on a second. Does anyone have any questions on the introduction? There's a lot of information in that introduction, a lot of hints. And I'm going to just add a personal note because we have a few minutes and I don't really want to start the actual reading of part one, gate one, until next week. But on a personal note, Rabbi Chaim in his introduction was indicating that there were aspects that when you are in meditation, these are my words, when you are in meditation, sometimes things come to you. And those things that come to you may or may not be from holiness. And you need to be able to discern which is which. The translator thinks that that information comes from the Talmud, and that may well be true. But it also indicates that it comes from previous lifetimes as well, because for the majority of the Jewish world, they studied Talmud in previous lifetimes. And whether you're a convert or a born Jewish person, according to halakha, or just a righteous Gentile, your connection to your previous lives, you may also have studied Talmud. As one of my friends who was learning Talmud with me as I was in a beginner, he said it very simply and very accurately. He said this to a rabbi in a restaurant when that rabbi said, "You can't study Kabbalah without studying Talmud." And he said, "Rabbi, you're absolutely right. I have done that for 300 lifetimes. It's time to study the Zohar." On a personal note, we have been saying a verse that connects to the year 5775. You may recognize the issue. How does one take the first letters of the words of a verse and connect them to the appropriate words that they mean? Does that come from intellectual process, looking at the letters, reevaluating, permutating the letters, rearranging the letters until one is satisfied that they're accurate? The answer for my personal experience is no. One, by looking at the letters, one has received information as to what is appropriate. And then one uses the intellect to verify the truth of what is being presented to you. That's my personal experience. Does anyone have any questions? The classes this coming week, all times that I will express are West Coast times, so feel free to interrupt and ask questions as you feel appropriate. Chapter at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we will have a class, basic class number 6, reestablishing, reviewing for most, binding by striking, Zubuta Haka'a. Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4:30, we will have mini Zohar classes, continuing to complete section 55 of Bereshit Bet, a section that the few people who join that process have found somewhat difficult, and that's to be understood. And yet, it's just an indication of how powerful the Klipot are in our generation. We have to struggle to break that Klipot. It's not that we can be upset with that process. We need to persevere through that to reveal what we will reveal. Monday at 7 o'clock, we will read an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will have a class in the Tikkuni Zohar. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we will have a class in our questions and answers series. Thursday at 4:30, we have a class in advanced reincarnation. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class in the Parasha of Shemot. This coming Shabbat, at 6 o'clock, we will have a Havdalah, as well as a third meal strengthening of our immune system. And at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class in the Parasha of Vayera. Unless there are any questions, I bid you all shalom, a good week, a week of peace. Shavua Tov. Much peace in your life, much shalom in your life, as well as much shalem, much completion.
Thank you.
And I should say amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Did you say that you don't have a 5 o'clock class today?
Yes, it's at 2 o'clock West Coast time, which is 5 o'clock Eastern time.
And we have, but we do have a class.
There will be a class, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.